But many of you have had trouble sleeping. I keep seeing people posting about it, how hard it is to sleep these days and to have restful sleep. Well, on Thursday morning, so just 3 days ago, my husband and I woke up about the same time, and he told me right away, he told me that he had had a bad dream. And so he told me all about the dream, and then I said, before he had a chance even to say much more, I said, oh, I had a bad dream too, and I remembered it. And this was the dream. The dream was that there was someone dying in the hospital, something that I am accustomed to. And so I had gone to be with the family and to say a prayer, and so people were spread out around that room, around that pretty small hospital room, and I had said the prayer, and I was getting ready to leave. But then they said, oh no, could you just say a blessing on his body? I can do that. And so I put a hand on the body because that's just what I've always done. I put a hand on the body, and then all of a sudden I noticed that the whole family was coming and putting a hand on top of my hand, and I started to freak out. So what do I do? But I couldn't say anything in that moment. And so I said the blessing, and then I had to immediately say, now go wash your hands. What a strange world we're living in, where we can be afraid of so much, where things cannot be as they always have been. We are so disoriented. Constant disorientation. I think I have a fresh understanding of the passion that we read today. This beautiful and rich and heartbreaking story. Because everyone seems to be in constant disorientation. You consider the religious leaders who are clearly trying to do the right thing, but as our reading says, are also looking for false accusations, anything that they can cling to get rid of this rabble-rouser. We have Judas, who tries, it seems, to do the right thing by saying this woman shouldn't be spending all this money on this ointment, but should be giving the money for those who are poor. We have the disciples who want to remain with Jesus, who want to see him do what he is called to do, but do not want to see him go. I do not know how to be faithful if to be faithful is to watch their teacher die. We have Pilate again, who feels like he is supposed to be in a position of power, and yet he is subject to the crowd who is calling for the crucifixion of Jesus. Everyone seems disoriented, even Jesus, it says, became agitated in the garden at Gethsemane as he prayed out to God the Father, take this cup from me. Not my will, though, but yours. And then he has placed on him the crown of thorns, in itself a beautiful symbol of his authority, but also a symbol of derision and pain. No, the crucifixion of Jesus is soaked in disorientation, like a dissonant chord that refuses to resolve. And yet, I believe that if you listen closely to the story, and I invite you to go ahead and go back at any point and listen or read for yourself this beautiful story, you will find in it single notes of hope. Single notes that point to what is to come. Just the very beginning of the Passion narrative has this woman with the ointment who is willing, who already sees what is to come and anoints the body of Jesus for the hour that is at hand. We see Jesus share in this loving meal with friends, with people who have been faithful to him. We see Peter, who, yes, does deny Jesus, even though he says that he won't. And yet we can hear in him a yearning to be faithful, the prelude to what is to be a life of building up the church. We see in the servant girl who is the first to ask Peter, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" This servant girl who must just be eager for a witness to the one that she has heard so much about. In Pilate's wife, what an unlikely source. In Pilate's wife, she recognizes by a dream that something is not right here, that Pilate should not be involved in this horrible event. The centurion and those who are with him, who see that body dead on the cross and cry out, "Truly this man was God's son." In the women who gather at the tomb. And as those same women, perhaps you'll recall, who will gather again just a couple days later and find that the tomb is empty and the stone that had been placed so securely is rolled away. Joseph of Arimathea, one who has great privilege and wealth and prestige, but is willing to give up his own resting place, his own tomb, that Jesus might have a place of honor in which to lie his dead body. Glimmers of hope, signs of the glorious symphonic resolution of Easter morning. You know, I keep hearing stories that are glimmers of hope. And our disorientation is bound to last for, well, who knows how long. And our dissonant chord will become familiar, if grating. But I invite you to look for the notes, the stories of hope that anticipate new life. Some of those stories that I've seen this week have included a man who is related to this congregation who had a birthday this past week. And birthdays, I keep seeing them celebrated by Zoom or by FaceTime. But this man decided to put on a Santa costume and make his way through neighborhoods in Baltimore City and then around his own neighborhood and wave to the kids, a sign of hope. There was a couple who stopped by the church this morning and dropped off at the front steps a cake that those who are involved in the worship service might have our own little fellowship already cut into slices so we wouldn't have to touch anything but our own slice. Groceries that keep being dropped off. People will, on their grocery trips, pick up some extra things and then will call and say, "All right, when is someone going to be there?" And then they will drop off their groceries. A member of the church who has been in conversation with Buyrites right down the street to figure out how to get at reduced rate and in bulk some items that will help feed the families of Glenmount Elementary, Middle, and City Neighbors Charter School. And I'm sure there are many others. In fact, I invite you, and if you would like to take the time now, to go ahead and share in the comments any of those stories that you've experienced, those glimmers of hope, even when all seems lost, when everything seems out of place, those stories that ground you in the goodness of God and in the goodness of God's people. It is a disorienting time. There is no doubt about it. But the beauty of disorientation is that it breaks open a possibility that we might be reoriented. Reoriented to God's call on our lives to recognize what is truly important and to be called by God to live our lives in love. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.